So you're here, sat here, finally in your cuddligan.
Yes. It's essentially a third host.
It is a lot more massive than I was expecting. Oh, dude.
It's a chunk. It's like, it's so big. It's just so loudly big.
It's such a it's a chunky knit.
Very chunky knit. And it's heavy. I mean, like, it's heavy as hell. I think it weighs like 8 to 10 pounds.
Ooh.
Yeah.
So you get some of the weighted blanket action.
Dude, I shit you not. And I couldn't put it in text message form that sounded serious, but like, it actually feels like the warm tingle of spiritual connection. Oh, yeah. Like, I wasn't exaggerating. I meant it.
But see, the thing is, when you sent me that, I read it and I was like, I kind of took a second to like try to put myself in that place. And I was like, oh, dude, I know exactly what you mean by that.
Yeah. Yeah. It's so good. And like, it just feeds my old soul. And like, I'll like put it on because I like to read in the morning because And I will get up early in the morning and I'll like put it on and I'll like get the fucking hood and kind of like get all situated and I'll get a book and I'll just be inside of this thing. And so, and it's great because it's like, I'll get warm, obviously. I mean, like, look at it, right? But it's a chunky knit. So like the air kind of gets through it. So it's like you heat up and then sustain at just the right level of warm. And so I'm reading this book in this warm thing, and it's my new favorite morning thing.
Do we work for Cuddligan now? Do we get a cut?
I would, you know, at this point. Yeah.
I guess
pay
we
me
should,
a Cuddligan.
Just, you get one Cuddligan every month. I guess we should link them here in the bottom of the, or the show notes, because
I think we should, just so you can get an idea, if nothing else,
what
I'm dealing with here.
And if you've missed this long journey of Macy waiting for her Cuddligan, it's essentially a big, fat fucking Snuggie, but so much better. And it's so cute. I love the colors you've chosen.
It's a cardigan with a hood in the simple sense, but... like,
no, okay. It's not.
Do you know what it, like, well, I mean, in the sense how it has sleeves and open front.
No, it's built exactly like that, but I wouldn't look at you and be like, she's wearing a cardigan.
True. And, you know, and what it makes me feel like, and this is very specific, so there, how familiar are you with, like, the 90s fucking Batman and Robin with Clooney and Chris O'Connell, I think was his...
I'm there. I'm here.
Okay, so you know that super sexy scene when, like, fucking Uma Thurman is as Poison Ivy?
Yeah.
There's, like, that crazy colorful club, and she's in that weird monkey suit, and then she, like, dances in the monkey suit, and it's, like, super puffy. That's what I feel like when I wear this every time I wear it.
I love it. I love it so much. And you look very comfortable. And I'm glad, because I know you're not feeling well today still.
Yeah. Yeah. I just wanted to say that I was thinking about when I was about both of us, the state of both of us. It was like, so the content that people are going to get today is created by someone whose sinuses are actually bleeding and someone suffering from what is likely also a sinus migraine.
It's
going to be great content. Good. A plus.
And I've also noticed that my voice is starting to leave me a little bit. So it's all very sinus related, I'm sure. But my head hurts. Like a bitch. So here's what I'm going to do. Here's what I'm going to manifest. I'm putting this out there. Now, at the time of recording this, it is, I don't know, what, Tuesday? Who cares? What time is irrelevant. I'm putting it out there that when you are hearing this, the listener, the Wabeen, if you could send us some healing through space and time right now, you know, it's not linear. If you could just send us a little bit, and maybe we'll start to feel a little bit better here as we record this. All thanks to you.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. I'm feeling good. Finally. Like, I've had this head cold for 4 days. Mm. And that's too long for me. Like, I don't, you know, nobody enjoys being sick, but I really loathe being sick. And I hadn't had, and basically what this has been, so remember when I was like sick all of 2019?
Yes.
Like it was like, I feel like we both were sick all of 2019 with allergies. Yeah. But this felt like all of that 2019 allergy sickness boiled down into 4 days.
Shit, dude.
It was so intense and out of nowhere, and like my eyes would swell shut every now and again just if it felt like adding that to the fucking list. But now I feel good. But the problem is after so many decongestions and so many times having to blow my nose, my sinuses now are just at the drop of a hat,
blood
bleeding.
Straight blood. If you joined us for the Facebook Live on Sunday, you got to see Macy's very...
Oh.
Oh, what would you even say? You're hopped up on cold medicine or...
yeah. Glassy-eyed.
High. She was just
high.
Straight high.
Very silly. It was a silly time. Also, that means that there's probably going to be sniffles in this episode that are going to be timed in a way that we can't cut them out. So,
It is. Any standalone sniffles usually go, but this time if we can't help it, it's going to be there. So I'm sorry if that's gross. I know it's gross. Here's the thing about sniffles, and this is a little nasty, but they always sound so much worse when you listen back to them.
Yeah, they do. They're an absent-minded thing to do in the moment.
And in the moment, they feel to get a little... They feel dry. They don't feel, you know,
like, just kind of a,
like you're hawking anything. But when you listen back to them, they always sound so sickly.
They're much harsher.
Yeah.
Yeah, through a microphone for some reason.
Wet. Sweat. Wet. Going like a turbo jet. Okay, yes, Macy. Macy goes first this time.
We haven't even talked about what we're talking about.
No, we haven't. And expect a lot of that. And I guess before we go any further, we do have a dedication. Now,
oh, no.
I would before I get into this
dedication, I feel bad for them.
I think that we should institute, at least for, I say, the summer of 2021. I don't think it's even technically summer yet. But is it? No, the summer solstice has... Wait, is it summer?
No.
No, I don't think it is. Okay, but... Basically, from now until the end of summer, whenever we deem it's over, I think we should pick our songs from the Hot Girl Summer playlist.
Sure.
Okay. I think that that's what we should do. And that way we're kind of sharing, we're giving a taste of what we
our
questionable lack thereof taste. And while you are shuffling, I'll tell you that today's episode is dedicated to Yulia.
Okay, do you want to know what the song, the song for this week's Patreon shout-out segment is? The timeless classic, Raspberry Beret,
by Prince. Yulia, Raspberry Yulia.
I gotta find where the syllables work.
A Yulia Beret?
Yeah, I guess that would be it. It'd be like, Yulia Beret. I know she's in there somewhere screaming. Or he, not she.
Oh, my dog's losing shit.
Because that always surprised, because I've, you know, I wasn't aware of a young child of like, of Prince's range, you know, or much of anything about Prince other than I loved Raspberry Beret as a young child. And, I would always hear those screams, and I thought it was a woman because I just wasn't aware that
just some nameless woman
did that. Yeah,
she just comes in and goes. All the screaming, all the Prince screaming, set the dog off in the background.
Oh, I'm sure
it
did.
I muted it so you could talk without happening. What are we speaking about today?
I'm talking to you about...
Doing something close to nothing. Okay.
Seraphinite.
Excuse?
Seraphinite.
Who's that?
A rock, stone, crystal. I don't know if all crystals are rocks and all. You know what I mean? It's a crystal.
Yeah, what's the Venn diagram to like crystal, rock, stone?
I have no idea. I call them all rocks.
It's a rock.
Rock!
I'm going to talk to you today about Morning Glory.
Oh, nice. Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Morning Wood. Nice.
Yeah, Morning. That's what it's called. If anyone out there doesn't refer to Morningwood as Morning Glory, start now.
Yeah. You just look out on a beautiful field of Morning Wood.
Morning Wood. Ew. Ew, now I'm picturing it.
Did you say I, many, many moons ago, did you say that I go first? I don't remember.
1,000 years ago, yes, you do.
Okay. Oh, good. One of my eyes has decided to do its new favorite thing and just pick up watering. So that's going to happen the rest of this episode.
I like the idea that it's literally your eye's favorite thing. And it's like, oh boy, I get to do that thing.
It has taken to watering. Seraphinite. Like angels. Like seraphim. Or yeah.
Oh, seraphim.
Yeah, but it's seraphinite.
Okay.
I don't know why. Listen, I don't know why. And honestly, I'm paranoid now. Even after doing all the notes, I'm going to double check it just because it still doesn't make sense to me. So the name seraphinite comes from the Greek word seraphim. And this is kind of the angels and in like the angels that served in the high court, these celestial beings. And you know, the sign, God, this is going to be so hard. Because not only is this happening, Mercury is also in retrograde too. And it's just going to be just wading through a pile of shit.
Communication so, is rough.
Yeah, it's not working. So the stone itself gets that name because it has these very silvery feather-like chatoyant fibers that can be seen. And these fibers are... They come from mica. Mica, confusion, inclusion.
Okay.
And so that gives it the appearance of like angel wings. It's really pretty. So it's typically a dark green, or that can range all the way to a gray. So there can be the kind of lighter greens too, and the paler gray colors.
It's the color with of these your silvery. Snuggle-gan. Your cuddle again.
My snuggligan. But that's like the generic brand, yeah. Or like the high top version.
Walmart brand snuggligan.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's like nowhere near as good quality.
No. Yeah. It's like made out of hay. So these anyway, the point of the whole thing is that these mica fibers, these inclusions, shimmer when you turn it, and it just looks like silvery angel wings. It's very pretty. It's very dramatic. So the really feathery looking ones, some sellers will like give it the very flashy title of silver plume seraphinite.
Pop off.
It's not a very hard stone. It's only like a 2 or a 2.5 on the hardness scale. So while it's not like a jeweler's stone that can, you know, is super hard and can take a lot of like fine detail work and shit like that, it still can be carved into God, is it cabochon? How do you say that word? You know what I'm talking about, like
kombucha.
A pendant shape, you know, that can go in there. I don't know. So it can be made into those. I know, I'm sure that, like, I don't know, Kim and, like, fucking Zarek right now are just like, God, these dumb bitches.
Why do they have a show?
But along with that, it can, you know, palm stones, spheres, things like that. So it can be made into those kinds of things, you know, that you often find in metaphysical shops, like, you know, pendants and beads and necklaces, but not typically going to find it set as, like, a precious stone kind of thing. So I found conflicting sources.
Great.
As to the location, like the availability, where seraphinite can be mined. So I saw some say that it's only in Siberia.
Oh,
nowhere else. That's it. But I also saw some, like, other places that said it's the U.S., Switzerland, Austria, Turkey, as well as Siberia.
Okay.
So, I don't know.
Dude, The way that the cuddligan is so big around your arm, it makes you look like you're wearing one of those baby hands. Have you seen those, like, plastic baby
yeah,
hands?
Yeah.
It looks like that's what you have.
Hold my phone with one.
And you gesture, every time you gesture with your hands, it just looks fucking fake and tiny.
It looks just like that monkey suit, dude. It's all I think about. Okay.
All right.
So, with such like a super, I feel so bad being in this state today of just post head cold, dried out delirium, tried to talk about this highly celestial stone, but here we are.
The angels are pissed.
Yeah. And so that's, you know, with the name seraphinite, like its uses really mirror this and like its meanings and whatnot. It's super high spiritual energy. And naturally, it's a great stone for angel communication, angel work, if that's something that you're wanting to get into or if that's something that you already do. However, being a high spiritual stone, it doesn't simply just mean like it's angels or bust, you know, like you can use it for other higher being type work, your ethereal communications, you know, higher beings, guides, etc. I would use it for more serious, higher communication, and, you know, not just for like, not to degrade it, but like for like ancestor work,
yeah,
you like know, like, I mean, big beings,
Uncle Lou or something.
Exactly. You know, it's like, this is for higher than that.
Mm.
Seraphinite is super linked to the heart chakra. I saw that all over the place. I mean, it's pretty much everywhere, you know, or the Anahata is the Sanskrit name for it. And really, especially good for, you know, opening it, of course, which is always the goal with chakras. You want to open up chakras. But allowing for the better flow of emotional energies, especially allowing for the better flow of more volatile ones, you know, to where it's like you can accept the highs and the lows and you can deal with that and let them flow through instead of bottlenecking them and the heart chakra. And also releasing emotional patterns that don't serve, that perhaps aren't in your best interest, you know, but they're of just how you are, you know, old habits, things like that, kind of these patterns that you can fall in due to past experiences that make you act or react certain ways, and then that falls into your behavior. So allowing to clear these away.
Your hands look so tiny.
They really do. It's a stone with a feminine energy, so it can be used in feminine or in workings where feminine energy is needed or wanted. It can help in connection to the divine feminine, just really tapping into exploring and utilizing feminine energy. However, you know, there's the angel wing, angel feather flight motif is really strong here. Like it's a stone of ascension, you know, these higher energies, and it's got angel feathers on it. Like it's about up, getting up there,
okay,
you know, and ascending. And that goes in many ways. So that can go in, you know, deep kind of ethereal communication with whatever those may be. If you work with certain deities or things like that, you know, it can mean that. It can also be in the aligning and of like the chakras and allowing the kundalini to ascend to make its way up. So it's really just all about ascension, and however it is that the spiritual ascension, perhaps in your specific practice, most likely is to take place. Also, and this is just always something that you want, so it's very tied, again, in this ascension type thing, to also like astral travel, astral work, and aiding in out-of-body type astral work.
Lit.
And that's, you know, that's you're leaving the meat sack behind when you do that, you
Gross.
Know? And that's always a risk. And so the good thing about Seraphonite is that it, along with having like those super like angelic choir vibes, you know, that are just going to help you ascend, it has said vibes will help keep any like nubbins away or fucking old hags from crawling into your fucking body while you're doing your astral travel. So it's kind of a twofer there, you know. It's a good one to have. And I can use that, dude, because here's the, I have flung myself out of my body so many times on purpose, like trying to do it. And then I always have the thought of like, you know, like me, which you're like, it's kind of the thing, like you're not supposed to look back at yourself once that you, once you've like, because it will, it like reason and whatnot can draw you back. Like that's just kind of like a thing that's said, like a practice is like, just when you, you don't look back, like it'll still be there. But the moment you look back, you get kind of snapped back into it, which in my experience is very true. Because I look back and see my body and I'm like, who's going to protect that when the hag comes for it? And
or and, the nubbins.
Or the nubbins. I mean, seriously, there's a whole trove of creatures that can come
trying to get your body set.
When your soul leaves
it. Let me get at your meat sack.
And so I like the idea of using that. And I already, like, I've started, I like, at my feet in my bathtub, because that's where I do my meditating, I have that, it's this sweet-ass golden obsidian carved, like, figure. And it's, Hunter got it for me from Ardeo Artisanals. And then at the head, I have this tower that Wendy from Ardeo gave us both. Remember, you know, those little stacked, I keep that at the head. So I have like good grounding obsidian at the feet and like good selenite at the head. And I like to think that that'll keep anything away. But at the same time, I know I'm leaving my body alone in a bathtub and it just makes me nervous.
I'm sitting here thinking like, oh God, what if while you're gone, your body just slips under the water? It doesn't even have to be an old hag. Just don't drown.
I just drown.
Just, that's how Macy dies.
Okay, well, that's a new fear.
Okay.
This is not a very long topic because it's very straightforward. I mean, it's high vibrations, angelic vibes, working with angels, higher type work. You know, I didn't see it like super all over the place, like specifically, but I would also use this for the crown chakra being in the high, even though it's green and whatnot. Like, I don't always pay heed to, you know, just the strict color associations. But this being a super high vibrational stone and whatnot, kind of connecting to that higher realm, I feel like it could be useful for crown work. To close, I did see as an outlying bit of information that it can help prevent wearing some jewelry can help prevent snake bites.
Okay. Always.
So that's Seraphonite, and I'm a little bit self-conscious because time's not really moving right for me right now, and I feel like that was only about 5 minutes of content.
No, here's the thing. I was actually thinking right sort of at the end there when you said to wrap up, I looked at the time, and now for us recording, it's 27 minutes or so that we've been recording. I don't know how long this is going to be once we cut out a lot of our sickly bullshit banter that we've done, but I was thinking, I know for a fact, dude, we have an episode that's like 27 minutes long. A whole episode.
I remember. Yeah. And it was weird. It's like we just sat down, recorded it, and then we're like, oh,
that's it.
That was short. Yeah. But it was like it just happened.
It was so compact. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then we've never had anything under an hour since.
Yeah.
Well, in addition to our physical health not being so great, you know what can get pulled down when your physical health is not feeling so good?
Luckily, our sponsor of this week's episode, BetterHelp, is here for you.
Macy, listen, if you're not feeling great, you can jump on to BetterHelp. There's like a little questionnaire that you can take, and they will assess your needs to match you with your personal counselor.
But Charlie, listen, I have a really, really specific topic.
Oh.
Like, you know, and I've never been able to find a counselor to talk about it with. So I don't know why BetterHelp would be any different.
Well, let me tell you why. BetterHelp has thousands and thousands of licensed therapists in the U.S. alone. And this is a worldwide service, so no matter where you are, you have a gigantic pool of people to talk to. And listen here, if they don't quite get where you're coming from, maybe they're not super experienced, or hey, if you just don't like your counselor, you can change at any time, hassle-free.
So are you saying that BetterHelp can help with things like stress,
depression,
anxiety,
and relationships,
family conflicts,
problems sleeping,
trauma,
grief,
self-esteem,
and more?
And more.
And more. BetterHelp is available on desktop, mobile web, Android, and iOS, so there's no excuse to start feeling better today.
And if you don't believe us, which I get, you can hop on over to their website, BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.com. You can see new testimonials and reviews put up every single day.
And that's not all. Act now, and right now, listeners of the WBAH Power Hour get 10% off of their first month with the code AWITCH. That's right, you just go to betterhelp.com/witch. I'm going to talk to you about our friend Morning Glory.
Morning Glory.
Morning
Glory Hole.
Wood Glory Hole. So there are many, many types of Morning Glory. Normally we like to put some Latin here, slide some Latin at you, and let you know what, in particular, we're working with. The technical name, the scientific name, or whatever. I don't have one of those for you, save in one instance a little bit later on, because there's only one that I know is safe to eat and safe to use in cuisine. So unless we're talking about this very specific one that I will get to later, do not eat Morning Glory. Do not chew it. Do not smoke it. Do not anything like that, because there are so many different types of Morning Glories. And we just kind of refer to all of them as Morning Glory. Oh, and by the way, Morning Glory is labeled as a toxic plant. So keep that in mind. Okay, good to know. I'm just not being controlling, telling you not to eat it because I don't want you to. Like, it could hurt you.
Yeah, that's what they all thought. That was the first thought that they had was, no, you just did not want them to have that joy.
Charlie, he's a bossy Leo, doesn't want me to eat this flower. Once again, we've done the thing where, unbeknownst to ourselves, our topics go really nicely, dick and dick, hand in hand, because
pole to pole,
polarizing. Jesus, the chakra that Morning Glory, some morning wood, that Morning Glory is associated with is the crown chakra. Element it's associated with is water. The planetary association is Saturn, but also sometimes Neptune. And in Tarot, the devil card is what's associated with the Morning Glory.
There you go. I can't quite place what a Morning Glory looks like. I can't remember if it's kind of stalk-like, like gladiolas, or if they're like little...
they're very delicate. They're kind of larger. They're not as small as like a Creeping Charlie flower or something like that. They're not teeny tiny. But Creeping Charlie.
They look like fucking, what are those, petunias?
They look like moonflowers, I think, except colorful.
Yeah. All of these flowers all kind of look the same to me.
Mm-hmm. I think they're very pretty. A lot of them are very vibrant blue and purple. And then they have types that are just stark white. And I think it's a very cute little flower.
Yeah,
but
they're pretty.
The thing about it is the name Morning Glory was given to this after people observed that the flowers usually only bloom in the early morning. And they kind of wilt and die as the day goes on.
Oh, they're very delicate.
It's only open for less than half of a day before it dies.
Dies? Like it won't reopen the next day?
Yeah, no, one day flowers, dude.
Wow.
And it's a very... The more I read about this flower, I was like, oh, dude, this is fucking my flower, man. Because it's just like, if it gets like too hot, they just wilt away and die. And they really like... dark. I mean, they like to be planted, the plant itself, like for the vines and the leaves, they like to be planted in full sun. But the flower itself, as soon as the sun's on it, it's just like, bye! Or it just comes out at night. There's even a few types of Morning Glory that only bloom at night. Which brings me to my next point. Please don't confuse the Morning Glory with the Datura or datura, as while Morning Glory can F you up, it'll F up your liver or other parts of your body, datura will probably just flat out kill you. Now,
oh, good. Okay.
Yeah, good to know. And I know I'm probably saying that wrong, but it's also known as moonflower, so. I
love a moonflower.
Love moonflower, dude. Speaking of F you up, many types of Morning Glory have been used for their hallucinogenic properties, being likened to LSD. So you'd have to ingest many, many seeds to get to that level, and you'll probably just end up making yourself sick.
That's what I was about to ask. Yeah. Like, I mean, to how that would work.
Yeah, it would be a seed ingestion kind of thing. Also, it's only certain types from certain places. And again, I'm not throwing out any Latin on just, these because
just take acid instead.
I mean, yeah, if you're looking for something, just take acid
or mushrooms. Or, like, you know, just know what it is.
Yeah. Just whatever you put in your body, please know what it is. Mm-hmm. And again, I'm not going to give you guys the Latin on the ones that people have used before for the properties, because I'm not trying to get anybody effed up on my watch. Mm-hmm. There are some who say that the seeds of the type that hold these properties are treated with a pesticide that can fuck up your liver, damage your brain. More,
I'm not seeing the benefit here. Eat a couple magic mushrooms.
Yeah.
You won't die. Just, and your liver won't fail.
You know, casually find yourself a Kinect and get you some magic mushrooms.
But for the love of God, at least know something about the Kinect and don't just let it be some roving some stranger
that you found on Facebook.
Oh, yeah, these are mushrooms. Yeah, you can take some.
Yeah. And he just picked some mushrooms out of the yard and you die.
He hands you a couple of, like, obviously stolen from the grocery store button mushrooms. Like,
one portobello mushroom.
This is the best. I heard they're just absolutely the best. Yeah, take
make
them.
A tea. Make
triples.
A tea. Why is this his voice?
I don't know.
Okay, let's see. In many places, Morning Glory is considered a weed, especially in parts of Australia where they grow so thick it chokes out all other living plants. It's a real problem.
Wow.
Which, to me, if you caught it like on the right morning, I bet it would be beautiful.
Oh, I bet.
But it is choking out all of the other local wildlife, or not wildlife.
God. A deer, like, gets caught in it, and it's like a web, and it's stuck.
Fucking, what is it, a rear naked chokehold?
Speaking of drowning out life, dude, we got a really interesting email from a listener about earthworms.
Okay.
And I did not know this. I wanted to make a quick, like, addendum for the earthworm episode. So we were contacted by someone who said there's kind of new research coming out, because, and like, I couldn't find anything like this, but it kind of, like, you know, because earthworms are just the perfect the things, but they might not be. There's some interesting shit here. So going further up north, like in the older glacial forests in North America right now, they're actually like causing, like, it's starting to be realized that they are causing problems, like, and that, like, all of, like, the, like, there's some, like, leaf litter and shit, like, that's supposed to be on the forest floor and, like, keep it, and the earthworms are just fucking all that up, and so, like, native species are, and it's like showing up as global warming is getting
worse. Shit.
Yeah, and so it's like kind of like this, like, new, you know, it's like, oh, like, the earthworms might actually be a so it was interesting, and I wanted to mention that, because it's not anything that I came across, but it's kind of like this developing story on earthworms, and they are invasive, like, they are not supposed to be in North America, but it doesn't seem they have quite, I don't know for sure, but here they're regarded as being pretty good, but also don't live in glacial forests that aren't made for whatever they're doing, it seems.
And, you know, so I guess don't do what we might have joked about in that episode of just throw earthworms everywhere, don't we? But I also, just that you're saying this, I kind of want to point it out. We talked about this, I think, a little bit when we spoke to our golden ticket winner here lately, that we are gonna leave our mistakes in our episodes like this.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I know some of us might be like, hey, this thing that you said that's wrong, or maybe you used the wrong terminology, or maybe, hey, even you came along later and find out that that's like not necessarily the correct information at all. You know, like yeah. we're going to leave that information in so that we can then come behind like this and say, hey, look, we were wrong, because that's part of the amateur's journey, you know?
Yeah, yeah. And it would just seem really wrong if we went through and just patched shit up
yeah.
and like we didn't fuck up.
When yeah, and we be like, did. Oh, and that's... oops, by the way, we did. And I think it's important to kind of know that you're going to fuck up, you know? Yeah. And you, in your own research, just like doing our own research where we have fucked up, you might not come across information like
yeah. that. Yeah, well, and that's what she said. She was like, I'm kind of not surprised. Like, this is kind yeah. of... developing, well, you know.
And dude, nobody, not nobody, Jesus Christ, that was egotistical. Not a lot of people have the privilege, I guess, that we have, in that a ton of people listen and we can just get contacted by this, like, these super scientists.
Yeah, you know? She's like a horticulturist, you yeah. know, so it's like this, like, you know, and I was just like, oh, okay.
Everybody doing that in your own research, they're not going to have that luxury, you know? So we like to leave that in there so we can come behind and be like, yo, someone way smarter than us came yeah. along and corrected that. But anyway, I felt like throwing that out there. But back to Morningwood. In many places, it's considered a weed. It's killing all the deers or whatever in Australia.
Okay.
Even in the U.S., some types are illegal to grow or sell unless you have a freaking permit. You have to have a permit for some types of morning glory.
So big time controlled species.
Yeah. Yeah. And another thing I saw, and I might not be completely quoting this word for word because I didn't put it in my notes, but thinking back on it, I thought it was funny. Some of the more controlled species throughout the U.S., it's not actually controlled that hard in Texas because it all boils down to like, well, we tried to get Texas to like be better. But they didn't do it, so we're just going to let them do whatever they want.
Yep. And
yeah. it was just the most Texas thing I've ever read, so I thought I would
include
that.
Sounds right.
So some history for you. Ancient civilizations in Mesoamerica used morning glory for ceremonial purposes. They would take advantage of that hallucinogenic property for their ceremonies that they would do. And I think other healing, like mild healing properties. I know in ancient China or areas of ancient China, they would use it as to move the bowels.
Okay.
Because it was essentially making you sick, you know, but sometimes you use what you have. And if you know, hey, that plant, it doesn't kill me, but it makes me shit a lot. And I've got this patient that needs to shit out poison. I'm going to give you the lesser poison so you'll shit out the worse poison. And so you use what you have through time. So I'm not telling anyone to go out and use this as your laxative today. Please don't do that. But in addition to the pooping and the hallucinogenic properties, ceremonial properties, something even more amazing was done with it in Mesoamerica. They would use the sulfur in the sap of the morning glory flower or plant to vulcanize fluid from the elastic tree. And they made rubber.
Interesting.
This is thousands and thousands of years before the like modern day vulcanization process that we know, or before the quote unquote discovery of how to make rubber. They were doing it so long ago, which
of course.
I think is fascinating, dude. Yeah. And over on alchemyworks.com, they have this to say, and I'm not changing a word because this is information that blew my ass out. When the Inquisition of Mexico realized that the Aztecs did everything they could to maintain their relationship with this plant, being the morning glory, they resolved that the only remedy was terror. And they went on to burn many of the native people alive for possessing these seeds, which were often found together with a small statue of a god. So there's that information.
Good God, dude.
Can you imagine just having something that you hold sacred and it's next to your statue of a god and somebody fucking kills you for it?
Kills you for it. And they came to your fucking house.
They
walk into your fucking house.
Yeah.
It makes me so... I know.
walk into your house and shoot you dead.
Yeah.
You did something. You're doing something on your own in your own house that I don't like.
Yeah.
Damn it. But Alchemy Works also has this to say about the treating of those seeds, the what was it? Pesticide treatment of those seeds. Yeah. They say, in response to customer questions, no Morning Glory seeds are now or have ever been treated with anything whatsoever. This is a myth. So take that for what you will. I am kind of on the train that I believe it's a myth as well. I think that sounds like something someone's like parents would say to keep them away from eating the seeds, you know?
Yeah.
Like, well, you can have that because there might be pesticides in it, you know?
Uh-huh. Yeah, it's like the Halloween candy myth.
Oh, yeah. Or the, some rumors of marijuana containing, what's the cleaning? Comet.
Oh, my God. Yes. Everything was cut with Comet. Everything.
Yeah.
Everything that you weren't supposed to put in your body had Comet in it.
Had Comet.
Cut with Comet.
In it. Yeah.
Laced.
Yeah. Yeah. Laced with Comet.
Oh, God.
Okay. So, and in the Victorian language of flowers, Morning Glory means love in vain. So I'm guessing maybe an unrequited love or.
That fits with Morning Wood, though. Like that. Because it's not really what it's there for,
you know,
it's going to show up even when there's nothing really, you know,
happening.
For that.
Yeah. Oh, okay. So,
yeah.
Morning Glory, officially, according to the Victorians, the patron saint of Morningwood.
There it is.
In a mundane way, the only type that I'm going to even call out by name here and say is edible, and this is, again, with that disclaimer precursor of don't even listen to me on this. However,
sure.
Ipomea aquatic is used in many Asian cuisines. They use it like a veggie. It's also called water spinach or swamp cabbage.
Oh, I like that. I'd eat swamp cabbage.
I know you would. and because of the very short life cycle of the flowers, many people use Morning Glory, Jesus Christ.
Uh-huh.
Sorry. Use Morning Glory when leaving flowers on the grave of a loved one, particularly when they are still, it's like fresh in your mourning phase. You're still, it's a fresh grave. Somebody has just passed. It's something that you put on to kind of help remind you about the cycle of life and the frailty. Why am I not saying this correctly? Frailty. Let's move into the metaphysical. This is a highly metaphysical little dick. It's a great pairing for those who work with spirit or who cross the veil in any kind of way. The vines are said to tether the two worlds together. So if you're planning on doing any kind of projection or similar activity,
do it
in a space where some Morning Glory grows wild to be sure that you can come back safe and sound. Speaking of growing naturally, if you do find Morning Glory, just kind of doing its thing. It's there. You didn't plan it. Nobody really used it in landscaping. It's just growing in a forest. It denotes the presence of the Fae. The Fae are fucking bananas for Morning Glory. And if you give offerings of Morning Glory to the Fae, they are especially appreciative.
Oh.
Take that to mean what you will.
Interesting.
I feel like when the Fae are feeling very appreciative, good things can happen.
I think you want them appreciative more than, you know, feeling like they're being that they're being underappreciated.
Yeah. To me, my relationship with Faye is I would leave out the highest, most kingly of gifts, not really because I want something in return, but just like okay, you stay over there now. Thank you.
I know you'll be there.
I know you're here. Have this honey milk and this morning, you know, Morning Glory flower. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to hope that you don't steal my firstborn.
I just want you to stay.
Yeah.
Good neighbors. Yeah. Neighbors.
Give offering to the Fae. You can add morning wood to spell bags and spell jars to bring psychic visions, prophetic dreams, and to increase your intuition. You can use vines or the vines in binding spells.
Cool.
You tie up a poppet or something that represents whatever it is that you're trying to bind. Tie it up nice and tight. I saw some people say that they like the kind of rule of three things where you wrap it up 9 times, or maybe you leave it out in the moonlight for 9 nights. I'm going to leave that up to your own discretion and what you go for. But I do like the idea of using this vine that sort of rides the hedge to use in spell work. All parts of the plant, however, can be used to break the hold of addiction and lessen the, like, constant nagging, that constant background white noise that comes along with breaking an addiction. This is in no way, like, a cure, but definitely something maybe to an additive to everything else that you're doing in that situation. So, and the last thing is something I saw a few times that I thought was beautiful. And it was in the use of overcoming feelings of being stuck or being frozen. So the plant spreads out far and wide. It seeds itself. It's hard to kill. It doesn't need the best of soil to grow. It keeps going. Like, it just is gonna happen. It keeps going. And it reminds you that you can too.
Oh.
I tried to go super deep on that last word, but because my shit's not doing so well. Too. So, that's morning wood.
That's nice. I love some morning wood.
I love a morning wood.
It sounds to me a little bit like lantana in Texas. Like lantana.
I'm sorry, you said lantana. I just thought Brian Fantana.
I'm Brian Fantana.
I'm the stylish one of the group. Oh. I'm sorry, it reminds you of lantana?
Yeah, lantana. It's, I think, native to Texas, and we have some on the property. I don't know if it was planted here. I think, anyway, some of it my mom has actively been trying to kill for over a decade.
So, you know what? Be like a lantana. Be like a morning glory. Don't let anyone, if someone is going to try to take you out, make them work a decade for it.
She even set them all on fire. Like, she...
Christ.
Yeah, no, she's tried to get in. You can't kill it. It's there. It's permanent. It's eternal. It'll come back.
Oh, you know what else comes back? Year after year, episode after episode. Big fat bowl of steaming ass review footage.
Yeah, it is. It's always there.
I don't have the energy to.
Year after year.
Year after year. Well, hey, dude, we're about to hit our big 3-year.
In a stunning twist, I'm going to be reading the review this week.
Stunning.
And this is titled, One of My Favorites, and was sent in by JFKDJDJSJBDB.
Oh, I was looking forward to that.
And it is, this is one of my all-time favorite podcasts, simply because of how funny they both are.
Mm.
I listen to it whenever in the car, and I can't get enough. They choose some great topics, too. Thank you so much, JFK, DJD, JSJB, DB.
That's J, as in jack-o'-lantern.
F, as in fuck.
I don't remember the other letters there, but if you are interested in sponsoring an episode of the Witch Bitch Amateur Hour, you can shoot us an email at wbahpodcast@gmail.com.
That's, wow. Yeah. You nailed it, bro. Uh-huh.
Yeah. If you want to check out our Instagram, we do have an Instagram. Jim's over there. He's waiting to shake your hand. He's waiting to make your hands all wet and clammy with his yeasty, yeasty sweat.
But it might be the Fountain of Youth.
Might. You have to be brave enough to find out.
Yeah, but sometimes risk equals, you know, reward. And you get some of that slime and you pat it under your eyeballs. And, I mean, 10 years is just wiped away, you know, right there. You just look great.
Is it worth it to you?
Very supple. I think you just don't think about what it is. Just don't, okay. You know.
Yeah. But I imagine it has a delicious bread smell.
Yeasty. Yeah, yeasty with like the undertone, because of where he lives, we know where he lives, of like that pond shore smell.
Mm, mm-hmm. Like someone took a delicious, hot, fresh from the oven yeast roll, like those dinner yeast rolls, and just dabbed a little bit of fish on it.
Yeah. Some pond scum.
Yeah. Oh, man. Fountain Youth. Okay. If you're interested in that recipe for the Fountain of Youth, hit us up on our Instagram at Witch Bitch Amateur Hour. We have a Twitter where we like and retweet, but usually don't put out any original content of our own.
Nope.
At
Bitch Hour.
Come eat with us over on our Facebook page at Witch Amateur Hour. Now, if you're having trouble finding it, go to our website, and our website is wbhpodcast.com, and there'll be like a little linky poo in the contact us and all that.
Linky
Macy, plug the Patreon.
Patreon. Future patrons. Is that too presumptuous?
You heard it here. If you hear these words, you are a future patron.
You're a future patron. You can go over to patreon.com/WBAH podcast. And you can see what we got cooking over there. You can also see the video that we made back in 2018 that we've still not updated. But what we do update is a shit pile of content every single month.
We were
so,
just
you know,
babies.
It's fine. Yeah. I know part of me is sad to ever remove that video.
We should take it and post it so it's still accessible to us.
Yeah.
No one else will ever watch it again.
Yeah, we'll see.
You know? We have a P.O. Box. P.O. Box 865 Canton, Texas 75100. Dry.
I know that you almost slipped into an English accent. You caught yourself.
I did. And then I said three in German, but.
That saved it.
Yeah. I had to slip into some other, not me.
Some other identity. I get it. Yeah, sure.
Well, on that note, how are you feeling, man? You feeling a little, you feeling better at all? Have they come through space and time to heal us?
I'm in good spirits overall. I'm in a great mood. I've been in a good mood all day.
Well,
I wish my sinus cavities weren't split open and bleeding.
Oh, God, Jesus.
But apart from that, I feel pretty good. I'm in my cuddligan, and I'm in a good book, and I'm about to probably go read it some fucking more, and I'm good.
You're good? All right. Yeah. Well, I'm going to chalk that up to a win for the witchcraft that the Wabeens. My headache has lessened as this episode has gone on.
You just needed some of my sweet conversation.
That's what I needed.
It fits
I needed
right
to
up,
talk
dude.
About your split open sinuses for a little
bit.
What I needed is I need that absolute dump of dopamine that is seeing your tiny fucking hands in that big kind of look. Dude, they're so tiny. Oh man! Oh, if I knew how to, if my keyboard was working, I would grab a screen grab of that. And by the way, y'all over there taking screen grabs of us when we do our lives, and you post them on the private on the Facebook, the Patreon Facebook. Y'all are wilding out.
They are wilding out with the screenshots that our faces make. They're valuable memories, and I learn just what all my face does in a live. It does a lot.
And I love the idea that you guys are out there watching us and you just see us do something. You go, you know what? That looks stupid enough to take a screenshot
of. It's screenshot worthy. Yeah.
I love it. One day I want to take all of them and put them into a collage and it'll just be like our background.
Oh.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Yes. Well, that's all I've got for you today.
Well, okay. Listen. Okay. That's good. That's good enough for me, pal.
Wonderful. I'm gonna shower and start editing. Goodbye! I'm already can't communicate. I can't handle fucking Mercury's ass.